Welcome to Coursera's Weekly Digest on the most critical developments related to business, finance, and the markets. In this edition, we talk about the rise of Rishi Sunak and the fall of Parag Agrawal, the multi-billion dollar Tata Airbus deal, the RBI's upcoming MPC meeting, and the goings-on at the CCI, EPFO and Reliance Industries. The power games. Power will go to the hands of rascals, rogues, freebooters. All Indian leaders will be of low caliber and men of straw. Former British Prime Minister and Conservative Party leader, Winston Churchill, is believed to have once said, "They will have sweet tongues and silly hearts. They will fight amongst themselves for power, and India will be lost in political squabbles. A day would come when even air and water would be taxed in India." Whether or not Churchill actually said these words, his utter disdain for Indians was well known. Scarcely would he have imagined that less than 6 decades after his passing, not only would an Indian origin politician, Rishi Sunak, be leading the Conservative Party, but would also occupy number 10 Downing Street as the UK's Prime Minister.
Not only is Sunak one of the youngest British Prime Ministers, the 42-year-old is also one of the wealthiest to have occupied the iconic Westminster City home.
As the son-in-law of Infosys founder N.R. Narayana Murthy, Sunak shares a $823 million personal fortune with wife, Akshata, who is one of the promoter shareholders of India's second biggest IT services exporter. That makes Sunak richer than King Charles and, frankly, tells you everything you may want to know about the changing power dynamics of global politics, where old money must make way for first-generation wealth. Just as Sunak entered one of the world's most famous doorways, another Indian and fellow Stanford alum, Parag Agrawal, was shown the door, and rather unceremoniously at that. Billionaire Elon Musk finally completed his takeover of microblogging site Twitter, and fired its top executives. Agrawal, the IIT-trained chief executive officer at Twitter, was ousted along with another Indian origin executive, legal head Vijaya Godde, general counsel Sean Edgett and chief financial officer Ned Segal. As part of the $44 billion takeover, Twitter shareholders will be paid $54.20 per share and the social media site will go private and delist from the New York Stock Exchange. But the real billion-dollar question dominating social media discourse is, will former US President Donald Trump be allowed back on Twitter?
We'll ask Musk, and let you know. Pinky promise. But don't count old money out just yet, for it still does help you win multi-billion-dollar contracts.
A joint venture between Indian conglomerate Tata Group and European aviation major Airbus has won a $22 billion contract to manufacture and supply 56C-295 transport aircraft of the Indian Air Force. This is for the first time the Defence Ministry has entrusted a private company, Tata Advanced Systems Limited, to make an entire military aircraft.
But its size is not the only reason why this deal is significant.
The new project is expected to create as many as 15,000 skilled jobs and provide indirect employment to another 10,000 people. Moreover, the new facility will come up at Vadodara, in Prime Minister Narendra Modi's home state of Gujarat, which will go to poll soon. This is, in fact, the second big project to come to Gujarat in as many months, after billionaire Anil Agarwal led Vedanta Group Inc. a joint venture with Taiwan's Foxconn to set up a 1.5 lakh crore rupee semiconductor facility.
This is an important step towards setting up an indigenous military-industrial complex in India on the lines of the US and Europe.
But most importantly perhaps, the Tata Airbus deal is a blow to the government-owned Hindustan Aeronautics Limited, which has had a monopoly when it comes to making military aircraft in the country.
WAHAL has an order book that should keep its workers busy for years to come. If the private sector does make significant inroads into defense manufacturing, it may find it hard to compete.
The Reserve Bank of India is in firefighting mode. On November 3, the central bank will hold an additional meeting of its 6-member Monetary Policy Committee to prepare a report on its failure to keep retail inflation below its target of 6% for 3 consecutive quarters. The meeting comes after retail inflation accelerated to 7.4% in September from 7% in August. Typically, the MPC meets once in 2 months and takes a call on raising or lowering interest rates, or, well, doing nothing about them. The RBI's flash meeting comes as inflation has remained above its upper tolerance limit of 6% for 9 months despite the MPC raising interest rates by 190 basis points since May this year. Will Governor Sheikh Taikanta Das and his team go in for another rate hike?
We cannot be entirely sure, but don't rule that possibility out. But more than a rate hike itself, the central bank's commentary will be keenly watched as it would signal the trajectory Das & Company will take in the coming quarters. CCIF googlies. While the RBI tries to get a grip on inflation, India's antitrust regulator, the Competition Commission of India, has been making news for entirely different reasons. The CCI imposed a 936.44 crore rupee fine on Google, the second in a week, for abusing its dominant position with respect to its Play Store policies. This follows a 1,337 crore rupee fine it imposed on Google on October 20th. The CCI said that in asking app developers to exclusively use the Google Pay billing system, the US tech giant was abusing its dominant position. In its earlier order, the CCI had held Google guilty of abusing its dominant position in multiple markets in the Android mobile device ecosystem. Google will certainly appeal against both these orders, and we can expect another major legal battle in the offing. The regulator, though, has been facing problems of its own, with its proposed merger with the National Anti-Profiteering Authority facing hurdles. A newspaper report said that a month before the NAR's term is to expire, the CCI is facing administrative challenges which include lack of infrastructure and funding and differences in how the investigating arms of the two bodies are designed. Everybody wants to lend. India's second richest man and Reliance Industries chief Mukesh Ambani now wants to open another front to challenge his fellow Gujarati billionaire Gautam Adani. Ambani's real plans to list its financial services arm Jio Financial Services Limited in a move that will kickstart his conglomerate's planned listing of all its major verticals. Ambani is perhaps trying to preempt a similar move by Adani, who is looking to list his non-banking finance company Adani Capital by 2024. Another billionaire, Sir Jan Jindal, is following suit. Jindal's JSW Group is foraying into lending with 400 crore investment in a captive NBFC. With new age fintechs like Flipkart co-founder Sachin Bansal's Navi and Vijay Shekhar Sharma's Alibaba-backed Payton looking to also get a pie of the lending market, it certainly looks like another battle royale is going to play out in the Indian consumer credit market very soon. Will these new entrants manage to upstage behemoths like HDFC and Bajaj Finserv? We'll wait and see. EPFO's Vision Plan. The Employee Provident Fund organization will meet next week to draw up a plan for the next 25 years. The state-managed pension fund will deliberate on rolling out new social security products like healthcare, maternity and disability-focused solutions and age-differentiated savings plans, and on expanding its coverage. According to news reports, the EPFO is looking to slim down its organization and draw all workers into its safety net. It is also considering setting up its consultancy services in Latin America and Africa, and plans to appoint global experts to head its various verticals. Looks like the boring old EPFO could soon get a facelift. We're certainly excited, are you? Market wrap. This was the Diwali week, and the benchmark Sensex and Nifty started Sambat 2079 on Monday with gains of about 0.9% each. The markets remained upbeat in the holiday truncated week, closing firmly in the green on Friday. Among the week's top gainers were Axis Bank, JSW Steel, Power Grid Corp, NTPC and ONGC. Other gainers included GAIL India, Maruti Suzuki, Bharat Petroleum, Bharti Airtel and Dr. Reddy's Laboratories. Among the counters that lost the most value this week were Asian Paints, IndusInd Bank, Bajaj Finance, Bajaj Finserv, and Zee Entertainment. Some other stocks that left their investors poorer included Hindustan Unilever and Yes Bank. /Speak.